And I know last time we read through the end of the chapter, but I want to go back and touch on some things that we kind of hurriedly went over, especially on the 10 kings that are mentioned towards the end of the chapter. We're going to start in verse 12 tonight, and we'll go through the end of the chapter, and we'll finish this chapter tonight. Last time we looked mostly at verses 10 and 11 about the seven kings or the seven types of government of the Roman Empire. Tonight we're going to look at verses 12 through 18 and the 10 kings which have yet to come. And unbeknownst to so many who try to teach eschatology, these 10 kings, we do not know who they are. The scripture does not tell us who they are. There are those out there who want to try to guess, and are they right? I don't know. I don't think they know. But the Lord doesn't tell us who these 10 kings are. Could we get close? I guess maybe if we dug deep enough, and I don't know. But going by Scripture, I don't see it. I don't see where we will know who these 10 kings are until they show up on the scene, and by that time we'll be out of here and won't care. So I will leave that at that for now, but just know that what we see here in chapter 17, there's a few other places that talk about these 10 kings or 10 horns on the beast. And the Lord does tell us in verse 12 that the 10 horns are ten kings, so we know it's who they are. Basically, what we see in here is the description we see here is almost all we have. We see a little bit more back in chapter 13. There's the ten horns are talked about again in Daniel chapter 7. If we get time, we'll look at those tonight. If not, I'm not going to worry about it, because basically it's the same thing. There's nothing that tells us who they are, and that seems to be with a lot of people. They want to know everything, and God doesn't always tell us everything. As we mentioned in the very beginning of this study, God told us at the first of this book that it was good for us to study this book. But we also know, like some of the other parts of the scripture, he doesn't always reveal to us everything. And so we're not going to know what all he's talking about. We can guess all we want, but our guessing is usually going to be wrong. So, verse 12. Let's start with verse 12. We'll just read a little, and we'll come back and talk about these things. And the 10 horns which thou sawest are 10 kings which have received no kingdom as yet. In other words, they're not on the scene yet. And he's speaking in John's day. Remember that. This also applies, I believe, to our day. These 10 kings are not on the scene yet. Are they in power right now? If the Lord is going to come back soon, like we hope he will, then it's possible they may be the heads of states somewhere. But I don't believe they would be recognized as these 10 kings in the role of these 10 kings before the rapture, before we're raptured out. I don't think that's a possibility. I don't think that's the Lord's plan. That's not his intentions in this. They're not going to be revealed until their time has come. Now he says, "And the 10 horns which thou sawest are 10 kings which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast." And this 1 hour he talks about, and that's another thing, that doesn't mean 60 minutes. Because if they're kings and they're in power and they're going to do everything that he's going to talk about in the next few verses, it has to be more than 1 hour. Because you're not going to, for one, they're going to they're going to be the ones to gather the army to go and fight in the Battle of Armageddon. It's going to take them more than an hour just to get there, for one. So remember, there's other passages in scriptures that talks about 1 hour or an hour, and it's speaking of a period of time, and that's what this is talking about. They're going to receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. In other words, for a short period of time, they're going to receive power from the beast, or with, he says here, with the beast, but it could be from the beast, however you want to look at it. The beast is going to be the one to give them their power. If you go back to verses 3 and 7, back to verse 3, in the same chapter, he says, "So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast full of names of blasphemy, having 7 heads and 10 horns." Verse 7, "And the angel said unto me, Wherefore dost thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman, and of the beast that carrieth her, which hath 7 heads and 10 horns." This is all the same beast. And these 10 kings or 10 horns are part of that same beast. If you turn back to chapter 13, chapter 13 and verse 1, "And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy." So we see the same beast, no different than the one we see in chapter 13. And we're going to get into this a little bit later, towards the end of this chapter. But remember, I keep telling you that Revelation is not written chronologically. Some of it is, but John skips around. As the Lord shows him things, he may show him something that's going to happen this day, right now, and then a few hours later, he's seeing something that's going to happen in a day that happened before what he saw first. If you get what I'm saying, so it's not written chronologically. So, what the beast that we see in chapter 13 is the same beast we see. The first beast, I should say, that we see in chapter 13. Remember, there's two beasts there. The first beast is the one that we see in chapter 17, and this is the beast that the woman rides, remember? That we talked about earlier in chapter 17. This is the Roman Empire, the new Roman Empire that comes up, is this beast. Verse 13, "These have one mind," speaking of the kings, "these have one mind, and shall give their power and strength unto the beast." These 10 kings are going to agree. They're going to make a pact, if you will, or a treaty, what we would refer to it today. They're going to form an alliance. And this says they're going to give their power and strength unto the beast. What's he talking about, their power and their strength? Well, I believe he's referring to their finances, their military, and spiritually speaking, their religious beliefs. They're going to worship the beast, in other words. We saw that, and we won't go back to that, but back in chapter 13, we saw where they worshiped the beast. And that's what's going to happen. These 10 kings, and one of the things that I want to mention here too is I don't know that these 10 kings particularly rule all of the world at one time. It's as though they're over a certain area of the world, maybe. I don't know. The scripture really isn't clear on that, but they are going to bring the armies of the world together. We know that. But I don't know that that 10 kings, I don't even know if that would be possible, humanly speaking anyway, that they could rule that much of the world. Now, we know the beast does. The beast and the woman both will rule the world. The beast is the as the one world government, and then the woman, the Babylon, the city of Babylon the Great, will rule the religious world. And therefore, the kings and all the nations will fall under the one world religion. But there's all kind of speculation on these 10 kings. Like I mentioned last time, I think, we know, at least in my lifetime, I can remember the European Union was coming together. In the beginning, there was 8 or 9 or maybe 10 or 12 nations that were going to be a part of that, and now it's morphed into way more than that. And I don't have my notes from last time. I don't remember the numbers, but it's way more than that now. It's never been exactly 10. NATO, it was in the days that it was coming about, preachers thought, well, this is it. This is the 10 kings. Well, no, it wasn't. There's way more nations in NATO than 10. Same way with the United Nations. Everybody thought the United Nations was going to be the 10 kings, and it's not. Could there be, and this is just supposing, could there be 10 kings that are part of one of those organizations that's going to rule, be the heads of that group? Possibly. You know, I don't know. We don't know. The scripture's not clear on these things. And that's why I don't like to guess. We catch ourselves in a trap sometimes of guessing on these things, and we shouldn't. We should take the Word of God for what it says, and if we don't understand it, pray about it. Pray that the Lord will show you. And if we don't, if it may not be His will to show us, not in this lifetime. If He does show us, it's going to be Him showing us through His Word. We need to make sure of that. Don't take some preacher's word for it. Go to God's Word. And like I said, there's been preachers, those who don't agree with us on the pre-trib and premillennial reign and all that, and the pre-trib rapture, there are those who think that these 10 kings were the 10 nations, and there was 10 nations that came up against Rome at the end of the Roman Empire, the original Roman Empire. There were 10 kings, 10 nations, if you will, that came up against Rome at that time and fought against them, and they were Germanic tribes from Germany, Austria, and that area, Prussia, and all those areas. But they still don't fit. They still don't fit the description here. So there are those who think that fits, but they don't. But yeah, these back in verse 13, these 10 kings are going to be of one mind. They're going to be of an alliance. They're going to agree with each other. And their agreement is going to be that they're going to give their power and strength unto the beast. Then in verse 14, we see more of this alliance, this one-minded thing that is talked about here. Verse 14, these shall make war with the Lamb. And notice the word Lamb is capitalized. He's speaking of the Lamb of God, the Son of God, Jesus Christ. And the Lamb shall overcome them. Now, when does this happen? It's the Battle of Armageddon. We've already read about that. This verse 13 and 14 is where we need to be careful, because it's almost like a parenthesis in the story. It's adding a little more information to it. It's kind of gotten off topic of what we're talking about, but it's on topic also. He tells us these 10 kings are going to be the ones who make war with the Lamb. They're the ones that are going to gather the army. It's the army of the world. And the Lamb shall overcome them. And it says, for he, the reason he's going to overcome them, or how he's going to overcome them, is because he is the Lord of lords and King of kings. He's all-powerful. He's all-sovereign. He's God himself. He's going to overthrow these 10 kings and their armies. And then notice it says, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. The army he's going to bring with him are his saints. No doubt of that. You can see that right there. It's who else are his called and his chosen and his faithful? His saints. Then in we see there in verse 14, it's going to be a futile attempt on their part. We think now, how can any man think that he can defeat God or the Son of God in battle? You go to the Word of God, go to His Word and see what He's capable of. This is only a fraction of what we know about God. We need to understand that. God gives us His Word. He gave us His Word. And yes, it's a glorious thing, and we study it to learn more about Him. But this is just a fraction of God, of what God is and who He is and all that. And yet man, these 10 kings and their armies and the beast that they worship think that they can overthrow his son. We as God's people, we think, what kind of idiot would think that? You know, but that's the mentality. That's what they're going to be so in that time, in that space and time, they're going to be so wrapped up in the beast and so brainwashed by the beast, they think that they can actually take on the Son of God and win. And we read the rest of the book and we see that they don't win. Matter of fact, I say the rest of the book, he tells us right here, but he goes, in the rest of the book he gives us more detail. We'll get into that later, but here in this one verse, and the Lamb shall overcome them. There's enough right there to tell us. They're not going to win. Notice, there's never anything in this book of the Lord's army that comes with him, his saints that come with him. There's nothing mentioned about their wounded or their dead. It's always the wounded and the dead of the armies of the world, the armies of these 10 kings. They're going to be the ones that the vultures are going to come down and pick apart their bodies. They're the ones that it's going to be their blood that runs as high as the horse's bridles, it tells us. It's not going to be the army of the Lord. Their blood's not going to be mixed in there. Well, for one, I kind of understand. I don't know that we would even have blood at that time because we've been raptured and given a new body. I don't know how that's going to work. I don't know what the Lord has for us in our new bodies. I don't know if we'll have blood or not. It doesn't really tell us. But besides that, we never see anything in God's Word where any of his saints that come with him at this battle will be killed, because they're not. For one, we've either been raptured out or we've already died once. So it's not even possible. Now, I mentioned earlier, the thing I kind of want to mention that here again is that these 10 kings, there's no mention of who they are or where their kingdoms are. We don't know. Like I said, there's all kinds of speculation. This is one of the places where people try to interject in the Muslims that well, these 10 kings have to be Muslim. Well, no, they don't. There's no proof of that either. We know the seven heads that were mentioned were the seven hills or seven mountains around Rome, and they're representative of the seven types of government that have con- control the Roman Empire, will control the Roman Empire. These 10 kings, though, we don't know that much about. And so it's really a waste of our time to guess. I mean, it's I guess for our curiosity to study it, and that's what we're doing tonight. It's nice to know, but the truth of the matter is we don't know who they're going to be. And so you read the commentaries, you read, well, like I said before, don't waste your time watching the movies. The Left Behind series is not going to tell you the truth. Whether it's the movie or the books, you know, you're wasting your time with them. There's the commentary that I've been using for this, that the man does not tell. He basically says the same thing, that the Lord doesn't tell us who they are. So I appreciate him being honest with that. Now, in verse 15, so the verses 13 and 14 seem to be like I said, a parenthesis in the chapter. It tells a little bit of detail, and it gets off topic a little bit, but it's also on topic. But it's telling us what has happened at a different place in time. Verse 15 picks back up a topic, and it says, and he saith unto me, the waters which thou sawest, where the whore sitteth, are peoples, and multitudes, and nations, and tongues. And we talked about this last time. Back in verse 1, in chapter 17, and there came one of the seven angels which had seven vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters. We talked about that when we were studying verse 1. Well, these many waters are a large group of people. We know that Roman Catholicism is all over the world, in one shape or another. It's all over the world, whether it's Roman Catholicism itself or it's one of the daughters that are broken off from it. It's there. And verse 15, the waters which thou sawest, where the whore sitteth, are peoples and multitudes, which means a bunch of people, and nations and tongues. People all over the world are going to be controlled by the one world religion, which is Roman Catholicism. We see a touch of that today. I mean, you look around and you see how much Roman Catholicism controls or has had an influence even on things around in our everyday life. Look at the holiday that was just celebrated. It's a Roman Catholic holiday. And yet, Baptists try to claim it for their own. Other religions claim it and have no claim to it. It's Roman Catholicism. There are other holidays. There's things that our calendars are based on Roman Catholic calendars. The days of our weeks are named after Roman gods, but it's because of Roman Catholicism. There are multiple other things that we see in our everyday life, and I won't go into those at this time, but just look around us and pay attention and see what all has been influenced by Roman Catholicism. Are some of the things we see in our own government, whether it's state, local, or federal, a lot of those things are influenced or have been influenced by Roman Catholicism. Then back in verse 16, and the 10 horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. Now, the reason I say verses 13 and 14 are parentheses and are at a different time period, here's why. What we see in verse 16 has to happen before the Battle of Armageddon. Because after the Battle of Armageddon, you don't have the 10 kings anymore. They've been destroyed. So this has to happen before verse 13 and 14. So the 10 horns, the 10 kings that were upon the beast, they're going to, this is, these shall hate the whore. They're going to develop a hatred for the one world religion. And not just the one world religion, but all the first false churches that are left at that time are going to fall under this. Because they're under her control also. Whether they claim to be Catholic or not, they're going to be under her control. And he says, shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. They're going to totally destroy Rome. Remember, we'll get to this in a moment. They're going to have these 10 kings and the beast are going to have enough of the false religion. And remember, it's kind of mind-boggling here, because if you think about it, think about what we've studied in the past, it's this mystery Babylon, this mystery Babylon the Great, this mother of harlots, who has led people to the beast. They're the ones that have caused people to want to worship the beast, and yet all of a sudden the beast turns his back on her and destroys her. Ten horns that were upon the beast destroy the one world religion, and some say is the what's referred to as the false prophet in that day, that she'll be destroyed. It's like they're imploding upon each other. They're going to destroy the one world religion, and then shortly afterwards you're going to have the Battle of Armageddon, and they're all going to be destroyed. They're going to destroy the Vatican City, the city of Rome, where the Vatican City is located, the Babylon the Great, and all her offspring. And it appears, according to what we see here, that they're going to destroy, totally destroy, everything and everyone that they can get their hands on that are associated with this woman. Verse 17, for God hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will and to agree and give their kingdom unto the beast. He's still speaking of the 10 kings here. Until the words of God shall be fulfilled. So these 10 kings, remember how in our study in Jeremiah, God directed the king of Babylon, even though he was not a godly king, he was still God's chosen man to do what God wanted him to do. Same thing happens today. If God so chooses to use, we know he turns the hearts of the kings, he tells us. If God so chooses to use a man for evil, he can do it. Even if it's against his own people. He did it with Israel. In the day that we're talking about here in verse 17, he says, God hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will. The 10 kings. Not God's people, but the 10 kings. And to agree, which goes back to verse 13, where they have one mind. They're going to agree and give their kingdom unto the beast. Now, here's the question. He says, give their kingdom. What kingdom is that? I believe it's going to be the Roman Empire. These 10 kings, and this is just suspicion on my part, and I suspect from what I'm reading in this, that these 10 kings, they're going to be what we would call 10 city-states. They're going to be under the control of the beast, but they're going to control the empire under his power. He's going to give them authority to control the empire. They're not going to be heads of states of, I don't think there's going to be just 10 nations left in the world. That's not what I'm getting at. What I'm thinking is there's going to be 10 city-states. You've got the one world government, which is Rome, and these 10 kings are going to be the leaders of that. They're going to come together in an alliance. They're going to control that. And he says here, they're going to give their kingdom into the beast, singular, not plural, not their kingdoms, but their kingdom, because they're going to be the leaders. And they're going to give the whole kingdom, the one world government, unto the beast. And remember, by this time they've already defeated and destroyed the one world religion. It's just they're going to give everything to the beast now. And it says, until the words of God shall be fulfilled. When is that? Well, when the Lord throws them into the lake of fire. In the end. Now, verse 18 is kind of a reminder of what we've been reading. And he says, and the woman which thou sawest is that great city, which reigneth over the kings of the earth. Now, back in verse 7, and the angel said unto me, wherefore dost thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carrieth her, which hath seven heads and 10 horns. So verse 18, this angel is coming back to John and telling him, remember, this is what I said, the woman which thou sawest is that great city. What great city? The city of Rome, or the mystery Babylon, whichever you want to refer to it as. It's the wicked city. It's going to be, it goes by both names, which reigneth over the kings of the earth. But those kings are going to turn on the woman. We saw that. She starts out ruling over those ten kings, but they're going to turn around, and before the final battle, the Battle of Armageddon, they're going to destroy her. So, next time, we will begin chapter 18. It's a longer chapter, so we'll see how long it takes us to get through it. But it's more of John going back and forth on what the Lord is showing him. Because he's going to talk about the desolation of Babylon, in other words, the destruction of the woman and the city. And so we'll read more of that next time. So that's all we have for tonight.